You've probably heard of storm chasers, folks who head into tornadoes to get pictures of the forces at work. But Andrea Ghez is a scientist who's been called a black hole chaser. She's glued to the galaxy at the Keck Observatory, having just arrived in Waimea from California. She chatted with us hours after stepping off the plane last week. She was excited to begin her work up on the Mountain Telescope later that night to take advantage of good weather for peering into the galaxy.
So we're super excited this year. We've been preparing for 2018 for a number of years, and that's because we've been studying the center of the galaxy and discovered stars that orbit the center. And in the early days, those stars enabled us to discover the existence of a supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy. And in fact, that now has given us the best evidence to date that these really exotic objects exist in the universe. But if you keep going with the measurements using the Keck telescopes, you can use these orbiting stars to test Einstein's theory of general relativity in a regime that's never been tested before.
So will you get to do that on your time with Keck?
Yes, we will. In fact, we're entering the third and final phase of this experiment tonight. So we're super excited. This last phase starts now, and we'll go through the beginning of September, and that's when we expect to announce our final results.
So what will you be looking for when you jump on the telescope?
We'll be looking for a difference in how light travels from the star to us. In other words, there are predictions for how we should see the star move in three dimensions. Einstein makes a prediction for that. And what we're looking for is, does the motion of the star and the light that's associated with it conform to those predictions? It's like being in the Wild West. You're exploring territory that has never been explored before. It's important and exciting because there are only four fundamental forces in the universe, and gravity is one. And yet, it's the least of the four. It's the least tested of these four forces. It's ironic because it's the one that we're most familiar with. You throw a ball up, it comes down, and it really drives most of what we see in the universe today. But there's lots of evidence that's accumulating today that suggests that Einstein's theory of how gravity works is fraying at the edges. So we're interested in going into extremes to push and understand how does gravity really work.
So you won't be able to release your findings until later this fall, you think?
Well, this is strategy in terms of science, in terms of when you report your results. So in fact, there was a big announcement by our competitors. And these two groups, my group and their group, have been doing this experiment for 20 years. They're very similar experiments, and the two groups have very different approaches, philosophies, and quite frankly, pressures on them. To do this work, you actually need 20 years of data to get a seat at the table. That's a huge investment, and that's why there's only two groups in the world that really do have a seat at the table today. And with this 20 years of data, you get the opportunity now to take the observations over the six-month period of this summer, starting in March, ending in September. And during that that period, you have three key events that you have to measure in order to get the full content, the full information, the full evidence of what the star is providing you in order to understand how gravity works. The first event happened in April. The second event happened in May, so we captured both of them, and now we're just beginning. In fact, tonight we'll be on to start this third phase of the measurements. So my group's strategy is you wait. You get all the evidence. This is a hard measurement. There are a lot of ways to go wrong. It's an important measurement. The results are tremendously important and exciting, but we're going to wait until all the evidence is in before we share where we are.
So when you say there are two teams, and this is kind of a race, and you've been doing this for 20 years, does one side have to lose? I mean, is it a matter of who gets to this destination first and gets their findings printed and gets the credit?
Well, it's interesting in terms of how scientists view the importance of getting there first. So I guess our strategy has been it's really important to get it right. So rather than get caught up in the race for first, focus on paying attention to making the measurements and developing the analysis tools that you really need in order to believe what you're learning about the universe. This is not the first, as I say, rodeo that we've been to with this competing group, and I would say that neither group loses for having two groups. We always get further. The two groups see things differently. We try things differently. We have different points of view. And like in everything in life, when you have two different points of view, you end up in a place that is far better than either group could achieve on their own.
And your group is the UCLA Galactic Center Group?
That's who we are, and we've been working at Keck Observatories for the last 23 years, and it's just been an amazing ride.
And who's your competition?
And the competition is led by Reinhard Genzel from the Max Planck Institute.
And so you've got this great opportunity. I think we've got a window of some pretty decent weather for a while. I have been told that when you view, you know, the galaxy, that it's kind of like a funhouse mirror, and you have to kind of make corrections to make sure what you're looking at is right, is spot on.
Yeah, so in fact, we have two things that we have to pay attention to in terms of why we can get a view of the center of the galaxy that wasn't possible to get before us. One is that we've developed new techniques for using the Keck telescope in the early days, and today we have much more sophisticated ways of doing that. And the key is taking the blurring effects out of the atmosphere. Sometimes people tell me I take a twinkle out of stars. But using these techniques that we develop, we can get the sharpest images of the center of the galaxy from any place, either the ground or space. And using that technology and to correct for the atmosphere, we look in the infrared. This is light that has a wavelength that's just longward of what your eye detects. It's where your TV remote control works. And the advantage there is that it can penetrate all the dust that resides in the plane of our galaxy. So our galaxy is a flattened disc-like plane. There's lots of stars, but there's also lots of dust. I'm from Los Angeles. I have a very clear appreciation for what dust does. It's like smog. It prevents light from getting through if the light has a wavelength that's about the size of the dust particle.
So I have to ask, though, we might not have smog, but we have VOG. Does that mess up
your
viewing?
We're hoping that the VOG isn't going to be a problem. We have been getting great data in recent days, so we're hoping that it holds up tonight as well.
Oh, but what if it doesn't then?
Well, that's we plan for that, in fact. We think a lot about, in our experimental design, we plan for weather. So that's why we're not on every night. We're on every three or five nights, because typically a typical storm, of course this year has been quite unusual, a typical storm lasts a few days. So in terms of our planning of our observations, we think not only of the ideal condition, what kinds of measurements you would make under those ideal conditions, but also the reality of weather.
Well, I'll keep my fingers crossed for your team.
Thanks. Well, send us good weather thoughts.
And I understand that you have a member of your team, Devin Chu, who's from Hilo.
Yes, we do. We are really privileged to be working with Devin Chu as a graduate student on the group. He's done some fabulous work looking at the properties of the star that we're watching go around the center of the galaxy. And in particular, he's looked to understand whether or not this star is a single star or whether or not it's his companion. And that's interesting both in terms of understanding how stars form in this really hostile, violent environment, as well as just being a test or a probe of how gravity works. So he's doing great, and we love having a local on the team. We're very, very fortunate.
Well, it's pretty trippy stuff, and you guys are pioneers. My hat's off to you.
Thanks so much for your time.
That was Andrea Ghez, who will be spending the next couple of months stargazing from the Big Island's Keck Telescope, doing groundbreaking research related to gravity and black holes in our universe.